Tonight's Hunted Recap is sponsored by CISO. If you're tired of hunting for comedy on your TV, look no further than CISO. It's comedy for comedy nerds. Stream your favorite TV comedies and original news series to all of your devices for 1 month for free with our promo code RHAP at CISO.com. That's SEESO.com. And 1 month free with promo code RHAP. Coming live from the command center, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who has a podcast that's never running out of gas. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. And welcome back to Hunted Night Number 6. And it's only 1 week to go until the Hunted Season 1 finale. And it was the night that David and Emily got caught. And a tough night all around. Let me bring in the people in my first circle of trust. First, a woman who is besides herself right now about David and Emma Slay. Here is Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I borrowed Brent Wolgamon's veil from the end of BB Can 4, and I just want to tell everybody you're not alone. I'm going to be starting a support group for those in need, and we're here for you.
And welcome also back a man I met on Craigslist when he responded to my ad for a used bicycle. Here is Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you?
I'm doing well. Kind of a shocker of an episode tonight. So looking forward to kind of unwrapping the whole thing. And I can maybe get some use out of this used bike that I found online.
I have to say, the last half hour of the show tonight, I was captivated. I was very stressed. I thought it was excellent. And I did see a lot of people in the first half hour of the show saying, this is the show. Is anything going to happen? This is boring. I saw a lot of that between Facebook and Twitter, but that last half hour, I have to say, was gripping, Liana.
Oh my gosh. I was right there with you. If Griff had called me, my blood pressure would have been rising. My heart was pumping. I was sitting on the edge of my seat as terrified.
Yeah. Kurt, did you think that David and Emily were going to get away?
It's one of those things where it's like, we have to like remember that we're watching a reality show and they can only work with what they are given. Like if this was a, you know, a narrative or a story, like I think we would have figured out that, oh, they actually, they find some way to slip them, but we don't know that that's like even within the realm of possibilities. Like one of those situations, how are they going to get out of it? Like I had in my notes that we talked about there being 5 bars of Ri-Fi. I think we see what 6 bars of Ri-Fi looks like in this episode. I mean, it's like they know where they're at, but they can't touch them because they're like in the middle of a freeway. This was just an insane final 30 minutes of the episode.
This was the reality TV equivalent of the OJ Simpson white Bronco run. This is as close as we were going to get to that. Because we have followed David and Emily now for 6 episodes. There was the one where we skipped them, but it was like we were really invested in David and Emily. We had followed them the whole way through, and they were really, they've been in and out of these close calls the whole way. And you kind of felt like, oh, well, maybe they're going to get out of it. Maybe they're going to figure something out here. But at the same time, they kind of had them surrounded and a little bit dead to rights. And it was just really gripping in terms of what was going to happen next, Liana. And I did not think that they were going to get caught tonight. I had thought all along David and Emily were in this for the long haul.
Oh, I completely agree. I thought they were for sure going to make the finale. We've been saying this the whole time. Oh, yeah. David and Emma Slay are going to be there the whole time. We're going to see them in the finale. Not a problem. We just kind of dismissed it that there was no absolutely no way that they were going to get caught. And well, OK, we were all wrong. Like I'll eat crow. Like we messed up. Oh, my gosh. I'm still devastated.
Kurt, this to me is, I would say, the closest thing to this in reality TV. I can come up with a number of different metaphors. This was, I'll give you an amazing race one. This was Team Rooster Teeth getting eliminated at the final four in Amazing Race 28. How's that? And then it's like, what? They're not even going to be in the finale? What?
Yeah, it's... I thought that it seemed like they maybe had slipped, you know, Team Alpha's, you know, grasp on those windy back roads, and no dice. I mean, I was like, okay, they actually somehow managed to shake them, but no. So they must get away in a foot race. They must, but no. Griffin Buck can sure run. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, they did. Those guys are fast. This was, how about this, Liana? Try this metaphor on. This was David Wright with winner edit getting voted out at the final four and not even going to be in the final three.
This is, I'm thinking of every single Big Brother or Survivor final two or final three, or like final three, final four, where that person gets cut. It's the Netta, it's
happens.
The Cerise, it's the Kelly Wentworth. Like, I guess maybe this feeds into my sort of classic understanding of how reality shows work. One of my favorites, at least, I mean, we still have Lee and Hilby, but one of my favorites gets taken away too soon and we don't get to see them in the finale.
This was really unbelievable for David and Emily to not make it this far. Kurt, just from structuring the season, do you think that we should have had this next week, or did you feel like that this added to the drama that we were still a week away from the finale?
I don't know, because I think we're all going into the finale assuming somebody's going to win. And maybe it is Lee and Hilmar, but at least like this takes that off the radar. And I think we're going into the finale week wondering like anything could possibly happen. There may be some people out there who are maybe a little deflated that didn't happen, that we didn't see this elimination take place in the final episode. Because you're right. I mean, they could structure this in the days any way that they wanted to. But this kind of just has me looking forward to episode 7 for like, what are all of the things that are now going to go down that we have now just three teams that we have to focus on?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is, you know, we had this season almost sort of planned out, you know, and I thought, okay, we're going to see one team go home each episode. And then, you know, there's going to be two teams in the finale, whatever. It seems like these past three episodes, we didn't see anyone caught last week. David and Emily go home this week. And then, oh my gosh, this completely throws me for a loop, because now what I had assumed might happen in the finale, oh my gosh, I have no idea. And while it's terrifying, I think I like it. It's exciting.
We're thrown for a loop. We certainly are. And I feel like that what we've seen tonight, based on the response I've seen in the Facebook group and on Twitter, the viewers have turned on the Hunters. Now, everybody became Team David and Emily. Everybody became Team David and Emma Slay. And now all of a sudden people are down on the Hunters, Kurt.
Yeah, they need to stop with that. I mean, I think... Here's the thing. I think that going into the final episode, we just by nature, we have through the editing, the teams left that we're just more likely to root for. So I'm actually not surprised that we're getting more love for the Hunted than the Hunters, because I think we did see, like, I was rooting for the Hunters with, was it the Miles and Drew?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Miles and Will.
Miles and Will. Sorry. Dude, I just stuck with Team Dude Bro. and even to some extent with like Troy and Shelley, I was like, you know what? Like, let's at least plant the seed that Deliverance guy turned them in or something. But let's go get them. They're not going to last long. Let's get them out. But
you ain't never seen that movie Deliverance, has you?
Exactly. And so it's now down to the teams that are in the final stretch. And I think maybe that's part of the storytelling here, is like, let's really get rid of a beloved team at episode 6 so that we could potentially have everybody going into episode 7 with a rooting interest for the Hunted teams.
Let's track the David and Emily saga and get to the point where they end up finally being caught after so many weeks on the run. So we start the episode off with David and Emily still in the Denali, and the Hunters are tracking the license plate, and the Hunters are feeling pretty good. They feel like that David is spooked, that David likes to plan stuff. He's a real English king, I guess. And he likes to plan stuff out so much that he'll be frazzled, and they're just going to sleep in a car in the woods. Now, Liana, I saw some of our listeners were saying that they did not feel bad that David and Emily had to sleep in a car.
Yeah, I didn't feel bad about that either. Like, yeah, I love y'all, yeah, but like, just get over it. You're sleeping in a car at least, okay? Are your trapezoids sore because you had to sleep in a car? I don't think so.
Doubtful. Doubtful.
Wasn't it back in season 2 of Survivor where getting to sleep in a car was a reward?
That's a luxury.
That's a luxury. Exactly.
Yeah. So David and Emily are going to head back to Alabama. And the problem is that they have to go about 230 miles and they are really tight on gas. And so they are really forced to stay on the main roads, Kurt, and not go on any of the back roads. And the problem here is that the main roads, while more direct, are certainly going to be more visible to the hunters.
Right. And I think that the big thing that they didn't stop and take into consideration is, how did the hunters potentially land on us? I'm surprised that they didn't figure that they had to do something with the vehicle, or at the very least, that the vehicle might be compromised. Because that was really what ended up, it seems like, kind of taking them down, is the fact that they knew they were in the Denali. They were able to track the license plate through LPR. And the fact that you have to take this straight route is also the straight route happens to be where all of those cameras are. So it just was like this perfect storm of events that just led to their capture.
Well, it's interesting because I know, like, Bavid, they ditched a couple of burner phones with like a couple of phone calls on it. So that was also surprising to me, that why they didn't like kind of stop. I mean, I know that they're obviously, they feel very the pressure of the hunters on them, but they didn't stop to think like, okay, you know, David has this quote where he's like, we want to get as far away as quick as possible. Well, maybe if you take a second, you know, like park, think for like 20 minutes, and then maybe you'll understand that the car could be compromised. I don't know. Maybe they could have picked up a white Bronco or something like that. But then that's could have been a better way to get away.
Yeah, it seems like that at the point when they head out to make this do or die run to Alabama on the interstate, that's really where the point of no return is. Like, had they done something different, did not get back on the freeway, ditched the Denali, maybe they had a chance to figure out this problem and maybe just make it be another close call.
Well, and they were in the HOV lane. Don't they take pictures of you in the HOV lane to make sure that you're two people, like the people with the mannequins, you know, that they put them in the... That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
I've heard of that, yes.
Okay.
If it is a thing, that wasn't how they got busted, though. That was not something that led to them being in the HOV lane.
They should have put in the request for the HOV lane cameras.
Yeah.
and it is to some extent us doing a little bit of Monday morning quarterbacking in terms of, like, I think it's obvious we can now see what the errors were. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they were, you know, flustered from having, you know, them kind of like right there on their tail, and there's, you know, uncomfortable from sleeping in the Denali. So I do give them credit for, like, what we're seeing is obvious. They probably weren't while in the middle of things, but it's just, you know, if you're thinking that they're tracking you by phone, that's one thing. I was just surprised that, you know, given that they did this ruse with the rental car before, that they didn't stop and think that that Blaze's Denali might have been compromised.
All right. So at the command center, they get the break that they've been waiting for. They pick up the license plate for the Denali. And now Team Alpha and Team Charlie are dispatched over there. We haven't seen a ton of Team Charlie, but Team Charlie is one of my favorite hunter teams, Liana.
They were helping with English and Steven, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But they've been underutilized. This was like their big breakout night for Maureen and Evie.
Considering I'm sure there are teams that I can't name, there might be other ones that have had a little bit less action. But yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think you're thinking of Team India. which hasn't come into play yet, I don't think.
No.
They were in one of the episodes.
We had
Arif and Ahmad.
They were briefly at the mosque. We saw a little bit of them, but I think they're probably still the purple team purple for all intents and purposes.
I would say that perhaps Hunter Team Golf of John and Vinny might be the ultimate purple hunter team.
What about Hotel?
No, we saw they had, you forget, on the first night, I believe, did Team Hotel have the arrest of night one?
No.
Or was that Foxtrot?
I thought that was Foxtrot.
I thought that was Golf.
Also, big night for Griff and Buck on Hunter Team Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Hot pursuit of David and Emily basically in the command center, we come up with this plan where we're going to send two hunter teams to go and track David and Emily. And so David and Emily at the same time, though, are feeling very high on themselves that they have a very similar plan to what we'll talk about later on with Lee and Hilmar, of sort of going back to the scene of the crime. Like, oh, they won't look for us back at the place where we have the most contacts. And I guess that sort of is a natural impulse, Kurt, when you see the finish line, sort of head to a place where you have the most options.
That's true. And actually, there was something that, and maybe it's because I wasn't able to watch on DVR, I had to watch it live tonight, but there was something during the opening credits that I don't know if it's been there for all the previous episodes, because I typically just kind of like skip past all the kind of that prelude. But it said they have to survive 28 days and then make their final escape from the hunt zone.
Okay.
Hunt zone?
Well, so, yeah. Okay, I caught that too. I don't know if that's been there the whole time, but from the UK version, the contestants that are still at large on day 28 have to meet at a secret extraction point, is what it's called. And so I don't know if that's similar to the UK version.
That's what I was wondering, if there was some designated zone that they had to get to, a little bit like Naked and Afraid, but hopefully with more clothes. And
or not.
Then and so or not, and then hopefully get removed from there. Like, I don't think the hunt zone, I don't think it's just saying you have to like leave that 100,000 square. You can enter Tennessee or, you know, that part of Alabama that is off limits. I'm not quite sure. So I think this is something that obviously, well, we'll find out more about it next week. But this, yeah, like Juliana, this is the first I've noticed it, but I don't know for sure that if it had been there in previous episodes or not.
And something else I noticed tonight was that there was mention for the first time of they're headed for the state line. And it did seem as though that there was some significance to that. So I wonder maybe if you do have to leave the hunted zone.
No, during the David and Emma Slay chase scene, they were talking about them heading towards Alabama, right? And then they were like crossing the state line.
Yeah, because Chocoloco Park is in Alabama. I looked it up. They did make it
great
to
park
Alabama.
Name, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so David and Emily, again, are getting a little cocky because they're feeling like that they have gotten away. They're on their way back to Alabama. And David says it's just like that old saying.
You know the old saying, do it under their noses.
Do it under their noses.
Yeah.
Do it under their noses? That's a saying, Kurt?
Yeah, you haven't heard that? Do it under their noses, Rob.
Where should we do it? Do it under their noses.
I actually have that cross-stitched on a pillow.
Yeah.
You know the old saying, do it under their noses.
Do it under their noses.
Yeah.
And did David just Jedi mind trick Emily into thinking that's a saying?
I didn't see him wave his hand, but probably.
You know the old saying, do it under their noses.
Do it under their noses.
Emily!
It's
not
step
saying.
Out of it. She's in that road hypnosis that you kind of fall into when you're just driving straight for long distances.
Oh my gosh, no, that's what they should have done to the hunters. Like, these are not the fugitives you're looking for.
Yeah, if he's got Jedi mind tricks, this could have something we could have used earlier.
That would be perfect if you could do that. He's got the Jedi beard, David. So that's a good start to becoming a Jedi. So David and Emily get a dash of cold water when Emily realizes that there are some trucks that have been following them for about 15 miles. And this is the first that she reports this news to David, who's not happy to hear about this.
But I'm glad that he believed her. Because it could have gone a completely different way. Again, just kind of if you kind of worry, look at, you know, what is the potential story here that plays out. It could have been an interesting turn of events if he just kind of plays off her paranoia, or like not plays off of it, but kind of like plays it down a little bit. But he takes a look. He agrees, and they start to try to figure out, you know, what are we going to do from here. Like they realize they are at five bars of Ri-Fi at this point.
Five bars of Ri-Fi is an understatement for David and Emily at this point. And so they start to panic about what they're going to do. So Emily has a suggestion for what they should do.
Should I call my mom, who's the person who has every bright idea ever?
Should I call my mom, who's the person who has every bright idea ever? Was that supposed to be a sarcastic sentence, Liana?
If I had said it, yeah. But maybe this is a classic millennial. Are they millennials? Like, call your parents, you know? Oh, we don't know what to do. I'm going to call mom.
If mom has like the best ideas ever, she would have immediately said to Emily, step one, don't call me.
Yeah. But that is not what mom said.
No.
I mean, this is what Emily says when she calls her mom.
Hey, mom. Oh, well, they're behind us. Any brilliant ideas of how we can get away?
How can we escape from them? They're in a car.
Yeah. Mom, you know how you always have the brilliant ideas of every bright idea ever? Got anything right now, mom?
Well, that makes me wonder what Emily's mom did, right? Because if David is wanting to call Emily's mom to ask for help, I mean, David is what? Almost been arrested however many times. He's now a lawyer. He like wrote his own autobiography. What has Emily's mom done? Maybe Emily's mom is part of some sort of a mafia like situation.
Oh, wow. So she's in some sort of a convict think tank, Liana?
Yeah, that's why she would have all the bright ideas.
Should I call my mom, who's the person who has every bright idea ever?
I mean, every bright idea ever, Kurt?
Potentially. I mean, you know, sliced bread, better mousetraps. There's just, you know, the list goes on and on.
Go to the park.
It's certainly not hyperbole.
Yes, go to the sports complex, the old Choco Loco Park. That's where you should go. Now, meanwhile, we're also seeing David start to make plans to go back to some sort of a gated community. Did that just fall through, Liana?
I guess so. Maybe they didn't know if they could make it there. Or I guess, who did he call? Brad? Maybe Brad never called him back.
Yeah, I think that what the idea was... to stay at Brad's uncle's place because he lives in a gated community and apparently they could just close the gates on the hunters.
That's how they keep the riffraff out.
The griffraff, yeah. Okay, so at this point, we start to see a lot of chatter in the command center. I don't think that Commander Clark really knew the best thing to do. He knew we had them. We were chasing them, but he was like, "All right, I've given the order to everybody to stand back." I think this was just trying to help the audience understand, like, why don't we just run them off the road right now or pull them over? It was just like they could be dangerous. We don't know what could happen right now. Everybody, just stay back. Proceed with caution. This is David and Emily we're talking about. She's got a mom that's got every bright idea that's ever been had. We don't know what they're capable of.
He's got autobiographies. He might throw them at us. We don't know. They might be armed and dangerous, full of books.
They're loaded up on carbs. They have eaten all of Karen's pasta. I repeat.
There are no leftovers. This Commander Clark here seems he was like kind of pulling like a Michael Scott slash David Brent kind of move, like the boss, like the office has everything under control. Like he's got to like pipe up and like make a suggestion to do something. And because I can just imagine like the cutting room floor that there's footage of Griff and Buck on Team Alpha be like kind of covering the cell phone. Like,
yeah,
what did they just say? They called them and basically confirmed for them that we have them surrounded.
All right, team. It's 2 o'clock right now. I'm going to go have a cup of coffee. I'm going to have coffee. It's going to be hot. I'm going to have it with one cream and two sugars. Does anybody else need anything?
They're probably happy that he's like, oh, God, thanks. Finally, he's gone. We can actually do our jobs.
Well, somehow the plan goes from Commander Clark saying, everybody stand back. David is unpredictable. And we end up seeing Andy here, the operations supervisor, says, we need to call up David and get him upset.
Yeah, the looking at ways to manipulate David, I guess just piss him off is like what they're going for.
We need to get him worked up.
I think we found the mole in CTU.
Is that what it is? Because it seemed like that was a mixed message. Yeah, we had a question from one of our listeners, Kirsten, who said, was the plan to rattle David and Emily hatched by Pauly Calafiore?
I decided to rattle her.
Yeah. Like he did to Tiffany Rousseau right before the veto.
Yeah, definitely not using any of the Calafiore charm, going straight for the rattling.
Yeah. So Andy ends up getting David really worked up. And then they get to the point like, okay, Griff, you need to calm them down now. Kurt, we didn't get to see Griff trying to calm down David. I would have paid to see that.
I would have, yeah. I was hoping for some sort of incoming call where we start to see someone who's like a hostage negotiator working with a really riled up, just villain. And but instead, I did like the conversation we did get between David and Emily and Andy, especially Emily just kind of like immediately like chiming in and saying, yo, you guys messed up yesterday. It's like, well, you know what? They didn't mess up today. And that's and today is what counts.
Mm-hmm. Now, Liana, I thought that Griff was an odd choice to be the person to call up and calm down David, considering that Griff was the person who decided to rattle Beth Wilson earlier this season.
Yeah, can you imagine Griff on the phone? He's like, okay, I'm going to need you to just breathe, let your heart rate lower. Is your blood pressure okay? Like, no, this is not Griff's MO. This is not what he's going to do.
I didn't sign up for this.
My favorite, though, was Dr. Max. So they like, so Andy calls, yeah. Right? And he gets them all riled up. And then Dr. Max is like, he's in full anger panic mode. Like, no shite, Sherlock. Y'all just pissed him off.
I do love it when the hunters are trying to agitate the contestants.
Yeah, I think we've decided that that's a great part of the show.
Yeah. Okay, so David and Emily, after being chased, they get off on exit 188 and they head to this park. We end up pulling back Team Charlie to make David and Emily get a little bit of a false sense of security. And then Team Alpha goes around. And so we're ending up in, it looks like for a second, David and Emily get away, but we are preparing for what ultimately will be a foot race. Now, Kurt, do we know if potentially Emily could have stayed in the car and kept going, or does the team need to stay together?
I'm not entirely sure where they're kind of those written rules, but the unseen rules are for this. I know that we've heard from the UK version of Hunted that teams can actually split up. But here, not exactly sure what the dictation is, but it seems to be some debate in the Team Alpha car about whether or not she'll stay in the car or whether she's going to make a break for it, too. So they both make a break for it, but they do decide to split up. I mean, she's heading for the creek and he's heading for the road, or she's heading for the road and he's heading for the creek. But then, you know, like the hunters split up as well, so it doesn't really do them a lot of good.
So this ends up turning into a foot race, Liana, and I have to give a lot of credit to Team Alpha. They're faster than they look. I thought that David was going to be able to definitely beat Buck in a foot race.
Oh my gosh, these dudes are fast. Okay, and I'm somebody who I've run a couple half marathons before, and I've been beat by like women pushing strollers and like people who are three times my age. So I'm used to being outmatched, but I really thought that David would be and Emily would be able to outrun them.
Incredible. Can't believe it. Can't believe that they got busted. Kurt, what a ride it's been with David and Emily.
Yeah, but the thing is, it made me realize the thing that I'm missing from these captures is, it would be great. I don't know if maybe it lives as some web scenes, but I would love to see kind of the debriefing / the interrogation. I want to see that point in time where they're just like sitting in separate cells or separate interrogation rooms, and somebody slams down the month of July on the planner calendar on the table in front of them. And I want to see that moment of realization where they see that they had this kind of map to much of their game plan the entire time. I wanted to see that reaction. I wanted to see that reveal.
So you want some version of like the Scooby-Doo ending where the bad guys find out exactly how Scooby and the gang caught them?
Exactly. That's what I'm looking for.
And we would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you and your meddling Karen's calendar.
Exactly.
It wasn't Karen's calendar, but
no, you get the idea. We can say, yeah.
Yeah. we got so many comments and questions tonight about David and Emily. Most of them are people just like very upset. People, including our own Edmo, said that the season finale was tonight. Now that David and Emily are gone, I'm telling you that David and Emily's stock has never been higher. That David needs to get a second book out tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Promote it. Go for it. I mean, they've got so much support. They were the team, the A story that we've seen from the beginning, and to have them caught, you know, now in this episode, just oh my gosh, it's devastating.
This is from Twee on Twitter, @Twee_ Kitsch wants to know, how many days did Emily and Bavid last? Do we have any sense how close they were to the finish line, Kurt?
I don't. I kept looking for mentions on the screen of, because we've had it in the past where they'll say day 15 or day 17. And again, unfortunately, I wasn't watching on a DVR, so I couldn't go back and check, because it's usually right there at the beginning of you first cut to a new team to go through the next sequence of events. So not entirely sure, but we know that it probably has to have been at least in the, if not the 20s, then very close, like 19 or
something. Yeah. So
like that.
From last week's episode, we saw a couple, like they're around day 16 to 18. And if they got caught that next day, then it might have been, yeah, like you said, like in the high teens. So maybe day 19.
At Joe Daly 4 wants to know, I wish David and Emily went out in a blaze of glory. And he puts blades in quotation marks. Thelma and Louise style instead of just running. Liana, should David and Emily have driven a car off a cliff?
I don't know if it's quite worth that. But I was kind of
what if they had parachutes?
If they had parachutes or maybe could do some base jumping, I don't know. Then maybe they could have gone with that. But I don't know. It is still sort of anticlimactic to have them just kind of be tagged and, you know, your time on the run is over. Like, where's the pepper spray? Where's the kicks in the groin? Like, I want some type of fight back.
You want them to fight back against Griff and Buck?
Well, I mean, if I were in their position, I would probably just sort of curl up in the fetal position, but I would like them to. Yes.
Gotcha. Adam Bradford on Twitter wants to know, with David and Emily Cox apprehended, are you saying there's a chance for Blaze, Kurt?
You never know. You know, it's you know what? I'm guessing that David will find a way to firmly plant their capture on the Denali and to basically kind of, you know, Jedi mind trick that whole association back into Emily's head about the association between Denali and Blaze. So I'm saying that there's probably not a chance for Blaze.
Well, it kind of depends I don't know what their ultimate downfall was. Was it the calendar? Was it the number 2 pencil? Was it Blaze? Was it the empty tank of gas? But if it was the calendar, you know, I don't know. What if Bavid breaks up with Emily?
Oh, you think so?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so, because they had the June calendar with them. It was something that makes me think it was something that they had planned on and written on together. So I don't think that that's something that was solely Emily's fault. You kind of get this feeling of them again huddled over there, the dining room table with the planner in front of them and agreeing on where things are going to be happening. So I'm just saying, you know, save that June sheet from the calendar for eBay. Make some money back.
Okay. And even Ari Ferrari on Twitter said, those last 30 minutes were intense. This show is actually getting better every week. Wow. High praise from Ari Ferrari.
Yeah. I mean, and now
Emily could have used a Ferrari.
Then maybe they could have gone a little bit faster. Although, can you speed when you're on the run?
That's a question people have been asking as well. I mean, I have to think that the show is going to force the contestants and the hunters to observe traffic laws. I mean, we can't have people from the production becoming some sort of like a public menace to film Hunted on our nation's interstate highways, Kurt.
Yeah, I've actually been playing a lot of Grand Theft Auto over the past couple of weeks.
Right.
And I can just say I got very anxious watching this. Just like, why can't they just, oh, yeah, because that's illegal and a lot of people would die. Well, why can't they? same problem there. So maybe it is like Amazing Race rules where that you do have to follow the law, minus the fact that you're technically a fugitive on the run from the law.
Right. Now, when you start doing like 100 on some sort of like interstate freeway, you're gonna have bigger problems on your hands than Team Alpha and Team Charlie.
Exactly.
Okay, well, it depends. How much does the ticket cost? You have to take the points on your license versus $25,000.
Right. And when you get pulled over, you add insult to injury when you are getting busted by the real police and also the reality TV police. It's a very embarrassing way to go out, Liana.
I just imagine both like the real cop and then, you know, like Griff coming up and they're both kind of like vying for which one is more important. Real cop's like, sit down, buddy.
I think we found a viable strategy by which they could have gotten out of the situation.
Yeah.
Speed, get pulled over by the real cops, get taken away in the back of a police cruiser. This is like a real, this now is starting to sound a little bit more like 24.
Yeah. Oh, so you think that there should be some sort of like a plan, like the Joker hatches in The Dark Knight, to get captured by the real police?
And yes, exactly. You're in a jail cell for 28 days.
So, and you think Command Center would figure out, like, no, they wanted to get caught. We're playing right into their plan.
It's a good idea.
Blow up the police station. I think we'll be okay.
I mean, it gives us that chance to see Griff trying to negotiate with the actual police for the release of these reality fugitives into his own hands.
Yeah. I do think it's probably a violation of the terms of service of a show. I don't think that you're going to be allowed to be filmed by the reality crew while you are in some sort of a penitentiary.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Then maybe
can you call up like the cops people and get their footage instead?
Yeah, they do a lot of MSNBC jail shows. So how do they do that, Kurt?
I have no idea. Can we pull like a Knight Rider maybe? Like have them like pull up a big semi truck in front of them and like drive the Denali into the back of it?
Work it out, yeah, I think you could do that.
There's got to be a way to get out of this situation. I just don't know for the life of me what it is. Okay. I probably would have pulled over at the next rest stop and just gone fetal and say like, take me.
All right. Well, the saga of David and Emily is over, but we still have Lee and Hilmar Skagfield on the run. And even with the finish line in sight, they are going to be getting to the finale. Liana, they're still messing with the hunters. When is enough enough?
It's never enough.
Never enough. You like when they mess with the hunters.
I really like it. And it's so exciting. And oh my, I mean, again, like I said, this
I'm getting
last
nervous.
Week, I know I'm getting nervous too. And I don't want them to get caught because of this. But if it works, I love it.
Okay.
And I saw the, you know, flying Beth in as kind of taunting the hunters. But at least here, I saw it as a little bit more of an offensive move. Like, let's actually, it's not just messing with them, but let's, like they said, you know, get them a cloud of information that they have to kind of like weed through. And just like if Griff's, you know, phone is constantly being, you know, bombarded with texts. But I mean, there does seem to potentially have been a downside to the plan, as Charles DeBarber points out to us. But I want to say that this was a little bit more going on the offensive than simply screwing with the hunters and taunting them.
All right. Well, Lee and Hilmar, they're going to return to Atlanta. And again, I think this is a smart idea where it's like, okay, well, they're definitely not here. We looked all over here. They're not in Atlanta. And so go back. And again, as the old saying goes,
you know, the old saying, do it under their noses.
Do it under their noses.
You got to do it right under their noses. That's the way to go. And so we end up meeting Chris Topher Taylor, who is a associate of Lee and Hilmar. Kurt, could you take us through what Lee and Hilmar are trying to pull off here?
Sure. So they're staying at Hilmar's buddy Topher's place, and they decide that they're going to, because they now have Griff's number. Obviously, you know, he had, you know, called, you know, Beth Wilson earlier on. So they there's been many exchanges there. So they have Griff's numbers. Like let's try to, you know, confuse the issue a bit. Let's like have them start to have to deal with some stuff other than us. And he posts Griff's number to, it sounds like about 6 different Craigslist ads to just, you know, basically said they kind of want to create this cloud of information that they could potentially get lost in.
Yeah. Here is Lee and Hilmar setting up this Craigslist post.
New home for a wolf puppy. Puppy goes by the name Buck. Let me know if you could give him a happy home.
So great. They're such trolls.
Kurt, are you down with the wolf howl?
Oh, boy. Do we think we're going to see the wolf howl again in the finale, whether out of success or defeat? Is this the one and done for the wolf howl?
I don't know. No, it's interesting that we saw Lee and Hilmar give out Griff's phone number on Craigslist. Now, we did not get to see the scene where Commander Clark had Griff call up David to calm him down. Is it possible that phone call between Griff and David could have gone something like, Hey, David, this is Griff. Look, I know. Hold. Wait, I have a call waiting. Hold on. I don't know this number. David, can you hold on 1 second? I have to take this. Hello? No, I don't have a used bicycle. No, that's not me. That's not me. Thank you. Okay. And he's just constantly getting interrupted on his phone calls.
That could very well be.
That's what I imagine happening, that now he's just constantly being bombarded with people asking for wolf puppies or for bicycles, and it really can get in the way of work.
Now, was it extra insulting for Griff that the wolf puppy was the name of his partner?
New home for wolf puppy. Puppy goes by the name Buck.
Now, why did the puppy have to be named Buck? Why did they name the dog after Griff's partner?
Because they're trolls. It's perfect. They're messing with them.
Can't believe you named the dog after Buck. That's it.
That's the last straw.
Yeah. All right, we need somebody to call Griff and calm him down.
Get
now
David
Griff
on it.
Needs to be calm. Now, Kurt, do you think that there was actually anything effective to be gained from having people from Craigslist call up Griff's phone?
Like, I don't know how easy it's going to be for Griff to get, like, say, a new phone or new number immediately. Maybe it'll be an annoyance. It sounded better in theory, I think, than in practice. It seemed they could kind of figure out pretty quickly what was going on. So I don't know if it necessarily helped their case to create the confusion that they were looking to create. I don't know if they got there. If anything, they did potentially leave a trail of breadcrumbs for the command center and the teams to follow.
Griff should have gotten a burner phone.
Yeah, he should have. Now, again, this is an interesting idea that Lee and Hilmar are trying to do, but it seems to me like such a half measure. If you were just trying to annoy Griff, and you were going to make a Craigslist post where people are calling him constantly, why not be posting in the section? I believe Arif and Ahmad would refer to people as casual contacts. Why not be posting there and saying, desperate, lonely, give me a call, and then Griff's phone number?
I like to pretend that I don't know why you're calling, like really kind of somehow work in the confusion into the post.
I think it should have been under misconnections.
Yeah, that's what I have it down to. Yeah.
Or like it could have been under man seeking man, because, you know, that makes sense. They're two guys looking for two other guys.
Yeah,
or,
technically, that is true.
They are men seeking men.
Right. Exactly. Or I don't know. Maybe it's more strictly platonic, but
no.
I don't know. But the idea of using Craigslist, I thought, was very interesting. But I thought that, and again, far be it from me, I barely have escaped a couple of rooms, Kurt. But I would say that why not use it and make it seem like that they were actually trying to do something, as opposed to trying to just mess with the hunters. Like, if you could put out like a fake plan of like, oh, okay, obviously here's a Craigslist ad we found for, and here is Beth Wilson's cell phone number. They're going to Tallahassee. Let's track them there.
Well, I thought that that's what they were doing. So earlier, before we get their whole Craigslist thing, there's the Josh Winston, I think is his name, where he says that, like, my buddy Chet is looking for a couch, and it's a post on Facebook. I actually thought that that would have been the misdirect that then we were going to see later, but they might be unrelated.
I don't know. That seemed like at first I did think the same thing, Liana. I thought that they were going to be trying to create all these misdirects on social media, but that was not the case with Lee and Hilmar.
I wanted there to be upside to this. I thought it was an interesting idea, but like I said, I think that the hunted teams, they kind of figured out pretty quickly what was going on, and that we weren't going to see kind of the payoff we were hoping for.
Yeah, it just seemed like, oh yeah, I'm getting a bunch of prank phone calls from Craigslist. Let's track the IP address. I wonder if this might have been the time that Lee and Hilmar pushed the envelope a bit too far. And I'll tell you somebody who was not laughing. That was Ben Owen, who said of Lee and Hilmar,
Hilmar and Lee, I see them as very good adversaries.
Very good adversaries.
I think that's like pronouncing it laboratory or aluminium. It's a uniquely British thing. So adversaries instead of adversaries.
Liana, are you buying or selling adversaries?
Buying, I guess. Sure. You know, I'm still looking for that Skype call. So he pronounces everything correctly as far as I'm concerned.
Ilmar and Lee, I see them as very good adversaries.
Adversaries?
Yeah.
Anniversaries.
No. Anniversary.
Ilmar and Lee, I see them as very good adversaries.
Yeah, I think it's adversaries.
I'm going to allow for a Britishism here and let it fly.
I think Ben's messing with us.
I don't know. He had a pretty funny laugh later. He was like, ha, 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 at one point. I don't know if you guys caught that.
So Lee and Hilmar will make it into the finale, Kurt. Do you think that they have a good shot to pull this off next week? Because I feel like the walls are closing in on them.
Is this where we start looking at like their, you know, how many bars of Rye-Fi yeah. we're getting with them?
How many bars of Rye-Fi right now?
Well, we talked about how, you know, Charles the Barber back at Command Center said that, you know, if they can kind of get some of the information behind these Craigslist posts, they could potentially track down the IP address for the... you know, the computer from which it was posted. And that's potentially a lead on Topher's place, assuming that they're kind of still there at that point. So I'm going to give it a solid 3 bars of Rye-Fi in terms of the hunters don't have them on the radar specifically yet, but they, if they're able to follow through on this line of logic, they will know where they're at. It's just a matter of if they're going to still be there at that point. So the, 3 bars of Rye.
Under three.
Under. So I'm going to go with 2 bars of Rye-Fi. It does worry me that a little bit that they're doing all of these things to mess with the command center. But I mean, come on, they're going to get the IP address. I feel like these guys are definitely using a VPN. There's no, like, they're smarter than that they're going to get caught by an IP address. So I don't know. That's my opinion.
I go the other way. I think it's 4 bars of Rye-Fi for Lee and Hilmar, because I think that constantly we keep seeing from Command Center, they say, oh, they're too cocky. They're going to make a mistake. They're going to leave breadcrumbs for us. I think they get busted next week. I don't think they're going to do it.
Aww.
How about that?
Cash me outside, Rob.
How about Dad, Lee and Hilmar? I don't think they're going to escape this room. No, I don't think so. I all season long, I thought they were going to do it. But if David and Emily can't even make it, I feel like that Lee and Hilmar getting too cute, pranks.
Just a little bit. We'll see. The thing is, each of these remaining 3 stories is going to be wrapped up next week, which is actually kind of exciting.
It's going to be a huge season finale for Hunted. So let me give you some questions about Lee and Hilmar. John Johnson wants to know, are Lee and Hilmar the hunted version of Joey Rodriguez, Liana?
Yeah, they should totally hook up. It's not like, I mean, most of the posts, well, we didn't see. There were 6 posts, right? We only saw 2. I mean, maybe. We don't know what the other 4 were.
Yeah, well, they might have been in the casual contact section of Craigslist.
I have to imagine that at least one was a missed connection. And maybe just, you know, CBS is trying to keep it somewhat family friendly and decided not to kind of post what was shared. But we'll see if we can do a David Bloomberg press conference and see if we can find anything out.
And Kirsten also wants to know, can we rename Lee and Hilbay's chaos plot to Bayos? What do you think of that, Liana?
I don't know. I think we're getting a little excessive. I can still barely keep all of this stuff straight, so I'm going to veto this one.
Yeah, let's just say Emily Cox's mom didn't come up with that idea, okay? All right. So before we get to talking about what's going on with Arif and Ahmad, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are the fine people at CISO, because whether or not you're on the run like the people on Hunted, you need to laugh. And comedy for comedy nerds can be found at CISO, the streaming site, which has all sorts of fantastic comedy series for just $3.99 a month, available on all sorts of different streaming devices. Now, Kurt, what you probably don't want to do if you're a fugitive, that it'll be very difficult to resist the temptation to check in on CISO. I'm not sure if the hunters would be able to track you. Maybe they would even understand. If they had a sense of humor about that Craigslist ad, they certainly would.
Yeah, I could see you get picked up by a stranger, borrow their phone, download the CISO app, and then try to log in on your account. That way, boom, they got you.
Because with CISO, you get unlimited access to CISO original series, next day, late night shows, hilarious stand-up specials, and binge-worthy classics, including all of SNL, the entire Monty Python catalog, and then a bunch of Britcoms as well. And I wonder, Liana, if we watched enough Britcoms, would we finally get the proper pronunciation of...
Ilmar and Lee. I see them as very good adversaries.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe with the aluminium and what's another British word? I don't know.
Laboratory.
Laboratory. Yes, we'll learn all of those.
Okay, you can access your CISO content from anytime, anywhere using iOS, Android, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Windows, or Xbox One. And it's just $3.99 a month. No joke. $3.99 per month for all the comedy you want anytime, anywhere, ad-free. Just go to CISO.com. That's SEESO.com right now. Sign up for 1 month free with promo code RHAP at checkout. It's the best offer CISO has going right now. 1 month of free laughing your ass off comedy at CISO with using promo code RHAP. That's CISO.com, SEESO.com, promo code RHAP, CISO.com, promo code RHAP. Okay, let's check in with Arif and Ahmad. And we saw them on the CCTV. They were getting out of the car, leaving the mosque, and heading to Atlanta, where we had a call placed to Diane. Kurt, do we know who Diane is?
I believe she's Sam's partner.
Yeah, so Sam and Diane.
Diane.
Yeah. Byron Hussey asked us, are Arif and Ahmad staying with Sam and Diane from Cheers?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They just want to be somewhere where everybody knows their name. Yes. That sounds wrong. want to be where no one knows their name.
That's where you would ideally like to be.
I accidentally first confused Sam and Diane with Jack and Diane from the song. Sam Huff is no Sam Malone from Cheers. That's for certain.
Yeah, this is not a little ditty about Arif and Ahmad.
Exactly. Right. I actually heard that Sam and Diane were breaking up, which is very sad to say, but I think that Sam had a new woman, Rebecca, on the rebound. But Diane may come back. Who knows?
Well, I didn't see any Diane around Sam Shack, so we'll have to see maybe we'll see more of some of Diane in the next episode.
I think she comes back in the finale. I think that's a spoiler. So going back, we see that there was the man Amon. Do I have that right, Liana?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he was the person that was dropping off Arif and Ahmad at the meetup with Sam Huff, a casual contact of Diane's. Is he a casual contact of Diane or a casual contact of Arif and Ahmad, Liana?
Who did they call using Amon's phone? They called Sam, right?
They called Sam Huff.
And because Sam knows Meadow?
I don't know who Sam Huff knows. I think he knows Diane.
I think everybody knows Meadow. I think she's the common
complicated.
This does get complicated.
I think they were going to reach out to Diane, but they basically ended up being turned over to Sam at some point.
All right. So enter Sam Huff into the story. Sam Huff picks up Arif and Ahmad, and he is bringing them to his place, his restaurant. And what a commercial for Sam's Barbecue, Liana. Sam's Barbecue is so good that you will even break your fast from Ramadan to enjoy the fine food at Sam's Barbecue.
Yeah, I think water is their signature drink at Sam's Barbecue, or BBQ1.
BBQ1, right. I'm at BBQ1.net is the website for Sam's Barbecue.
Yeah, I pulled it up too. I don't know what font this is. It's even somehow worse than Comic Sans. Oh, you can play the song.
Yeah, this is. Yes. I'm on the website. Here's this.
Yeah, because this right when you cut into it, the aroma.
There's autoplay videos. There's music.
We're looking for the moisture. We're looking for good smoke ring.
Check. Now the smoke ring.
Perfect. Eric, don't look at it at work at bbq1.net.
Yeah, that autoplay video was a little terrible.
Okay, we're looking for moisture. We're looking for smoke ring.
Kurt, going back to the beginning of the season, Arif, all he ever wanted was a hamburger. Now he's fasting for 3 weeks, and they bring him to a barbecue pit.
Not a good move.
Yeah, this was rough. Poor Arif.
I don't know the ins and outs of Ramadan, but I feel like this is, it sounds like they're getting a little bit hangry. They're going through mental anguish. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes right now.
Yeah, the guys are getting a little hangry. Did you catch this, Liana, when we started with the name calling over of the fine staff of Sam's Barbecue One?
I just ruined in here, not inside.
You hear it? He called the gardener an idiot.
I thought that was Ahmad calling Arif an idiot.
Oh, yeah. They're calling each other idiots?
Yeah, because Ahmad was brooming, which is, I guess, a thing, because he just broomed in there. And then Arif comes in with a leaf blower.
Now, Arif and Ahmad seem like they're in an interesting spot here, Liana. Do you think that they could potentially be the winners of Hunted?
I mean, it's very possible. You know, I thought that David and Emily were going to win, are going to get away. And, you know, it's possible that we see Lee and Hilbe get caught and Arif and Ahmad are the winners.
Kurt, are you in or out on Arif and Ahmad winning Hunted?
I'm kind of out. We're in that situation again where the hunting team's command center seems to have a good track on Arif and Ahmad. They know that there's a chance that they're with Sam Huff. They've checked out a website. They have, you know, they can probably easily track him down online without the use of Ahmad's phone. And they don't necessarily know that the hunters are on their trail. So I think that kind of puts them in a bit of danger for me.
I feel like that they're in a good spot, but the thing that bothers me is the edit, I feel like, has not been a victorious edit. And again, Liana, I don't want to get too much into the Hunted edgic, but I am worried about Arif and Ahmad.
I know. This is not Kurt's place since he apparently does not care for this. But
no.
I agree with you. I don't see them getting, I don't know. I thought David and Emily were going to get the winner's edit. So maybe I'm confused.
We don't know the hunted edits.
We don't know the hunted edits yet. Yeah. I'm still working on those charts. So I'll get back to you guys when the season is over. But, I think that they have been a little bit more under the radar and there is nothing that stands out to me. I mean, I think of the teams I was rooting for, it was David and Emily and Lee and Hilbe.
Kurt, let's pick things up with Stephen and English King. And we got to see Stephen and English continue to be on the move. That Stephen and English are such a curious case. We had thought they were going to be team one and done. They will ultimately make it to the finale. But Kurt, I feel like that nothing happens to Stephen and English.
It just seems to be kind of a lot of them not necessarily knowing where they're going to be the next day and kind of winging it, which is a completely against English's, you know, way of operating. But it seems to kind of be working for them. If they don't know what their plan is tomorrow, then it's going to be very hard for the hunters to get there as well and intercept them. So it's in a strange way, it's kind of working. And they do seem to be doing a pretty good job of identifying those points in the network where things might be compromised and they have to kind of either go a bit deeper or link up with somebody who's 3 degrees away from their normal circle.
Leon, are things going well for Steven in English?
I can't imagine by how much crying there's been, and there's no crying in Hunted,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I just don't get a sense of what's happening. I don't know. Maybe this is me. Maybe there's more that's happening to them, but you know, they've called a few people. They've stayed in a condo. They're in town looking for a place to stay. I feel like that's the only thing that's been happening to them.
Yeah. We saw English make a phone call to Meredith, who then got her in contact with Rebecca, who has a condo. And again, more hitchhiking for the Kings. that we saw some high highs from English King. She was so happy when the hitchhikers picked her up. Almost as happy as last week when Stephen King was so happy when he was picked up by hitchhikers.
Oh, yeah, right on.
I'm flying out of Charleston. Ah, the best thing ever.
It's so funny because, like, Shelly, Troy and Shelly, the other team where I feel like not a lot happened to them. I don't know. English and Steven are, I guess, having a grand old time and hitchhiking. I don't know. I still don't get a sense of their story.
It's like a big class reunion for them.
Yeah, they've gotten to see all of the people they went to college with that were not in their first network. They're into their secondary network. So they're doing okay, but then they realize that, okay, well, maybe the phone has been compromised. So they just go and hide in the woods, Liana.
Yeah, they're like 30 feet from the road. And the tree cover is not very dense. The trees are very thin. But I guess if the, you know, hunters didn't pay that much attention, maybe they would be able to hide.
Yeah. Kurt, they end up waiting for Rachel Stapleton to pick them up. And Rachel Stapleton is going to take Stephen and English to her brother's house.
Right. It's kind of an interesting group of people that English and Stephen are tapping into. I think what the deal here was that, you know, Rebecca, who had picked them up, her friend from UNC, told them that she suspected that a detective was following her to the store that she had gone to. And so this is another case where, like, Amber's telling them, hey, I think I might have been compromised. They're probably looking at my Facebook feed and realize I'm in Charleston and you might come to me, so you shouldn't. And now Rebecca's contacting them saying, I think I'm being followed, so let me connect you with my friend, Rachel, who's going to take you to her brother's house. So at least it seems like they're tapping into a very intelligent network of people who are being very cautious and kind of passing that caution on to them.
Now,
okay, or are these people just paranoid? Because we're not seeing any footage of them, which I feel like we would have seen. I guess it's like we're being told the story, but we don't get to see it.
I have a strange feeling that if we were to ask the hunters, hey, you know, which of the teams was following, you know, Rebecca at the grocery store, that command center would be like, it wasn't us.
They had nobody on it.
Exactly.
Now, the key question, I think, here with English and Steven, what day is this, Liana? Over or under? It's day 8.
I think over, maybe, but just barely, because I think they were on day 6, right? Mm-hmm. And then they spent one night staying at the... Oh, no, maybe it's day 7. Now that I do the math.
Yeah, we've really stretched this out, Kurt.
20 days, one episode. We have our winners.
Well, that's what people are starting to talk about now. The unthinkable. Could it happen, Liana? We talked about the Kings. They were going to be one and done. Then they were going to be two and done. Okay, 3 episodes, but then they're done. They're not making it to the finale. But here they are heading into the finale. Do they have a shot to pull this off?
I have no idea. Yeah, sure. Freaking, I don't know. Maybe at this point they could do it.
Wow. You're bullish.
Let's go for it. Yeah. Team English and Steven.
Yes.
I am kind of rooting for them now, I have to admit.
The unthinkable.
But here's the other thing is that they talked about in the command center, they were going to put out newspaper wanted photos, which I felt that was a technique that they would use if they were about halfway and they really had no leads.
Yeah, we've seen the wanted posters go out in social media like around day 13 or 15 typically. So
this whole situation is crazy. I mean, could you imagine how upset David and Emily, Arif and Ahmad, Lee and Hilmar all would be if they end up getting caught and the only people that beat the hunters are Stephen and English King, Liana.
Clearly it was the binder.
The binder, the planner.
The planner, that's all you needed.
They did it. They did it. What a crazy ending that would be for the season.
That would just be such a crazy ending and something that I don't think anyone expected. I mean, that would completely, you know, rewrite the book on the edit, you know, the Edgic story that I'm going to put together and would really just, I think, confuse a lot of people.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Kurt. This would be what a twist it would be if the Kings ultimately are the only team left standing.
I know it's an interesting strategy, the constant kind of like a friend of a friend of a friend strategy, where it's like that they'll constantly be looking to pass themselves along at least 2 to 3 degrees over a series of days. It's one good way to potentially get to the end.
We talked about the analogy of Bavid and Emily going out before the finale for other reality shows. If English and Steven win and Lee and Hilbey and Arif and Ahmad get caught, what is the analogy in that case?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to think of favorites that get cut and then somebody that you don't want to win wins.
Well, there was the one season of The Amazing Race, and I'm by no means a historian on this front, but it was like the two partners who were racing, and they were, I think, in their like late 30s or early 40s, and it was they kept like making it round after round after round, and they eventually ended up winning the entire season. I'm trying to remember, kind of a useless analogy because their name slipping my mind right now, but it's something that sort of thing where you've kind of got these alpha teams that all just kind of drop out, but the slow and steady beta team is the one that actually gets to the end.
I don't even know what the takeaway would be if Steven and English were the only team that won. Of like, if we were going to Hunted season 2, you say, okay, all these other teams got caught, but Steven and English, you gotta really pick apart what they did that was so successful. I wouldn't even say to know what it was, Liana.
If I was gonna come up with, and I think Ben Owen was doing this, but the kind of bullet points of like what it is that how they ended up getting caught, like what is the summary of their strategy? What is the summary of their story? I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, we don't know. I don't know. We'll have to all summer. We'll have to go through it. By the way, speaking of Hunted season 2, that have you guys seen that the link is out for teams to apply to be cast for Hunted season 2? Huntedcasting.com. Liana and Kurt, have you considered making a tape to apply for Hunted season 2?
Oh, absolutely.
You would go with Kurt? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kurt, you want to go together? You want to go on Hunted?
Sure. Let's do this. They podcasted about the show. Now see if they can survive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. How meta is that? Then can we podcast about us on the show, or that's probably not allowed?
That seems like that's not allowed.
It might be a little biased.
Yeah. Kurt and Liana are podcasting friends who've been told that they have 1 hour to escape.
we're gonna have to be on vacation if it's in the same area.
All right, we got Kurt and we got Liana. They are on the run. They are on the move. What do we know about them? Like, well, apparently they podcast about the first season of this show. Okay, what did they say? They were pretty complimentary. They were really baffled about when Steven and English won. They couldn't quite figure that out.
Well, that's okay. We'll have the whole, until I assume they're still filming in June, we'll break down English and Steven's game. Really crack the case.
No, we need to have listeners on Hunted season 2. That has to happen, right, Kurt?
Yeah, given my survival index, according to Twitter, I don't think I would be a good partner for Liana here. So I respectfully probably should, sit back and talk about it and because I would just get caught. I maybe make it past, Matt and Christina, but I'm hoping that I would make it to day 3 tops.
What about Mary Scott Valentine and one of her sisters? Could they be one of the teams on the next Hunted?
Yeah, absolutely. I think all of this secondary cast of characters should apply to go on Hunted.
Be fun. Be fun to see if they took somebody that was like in the mix. Or Blaze. Could Blaze be in Hunted season 2?
Karen, Meadow, all of these people should apply.
Sam Huff.
Sam yeah. Huff.
With Diane.
You'd have to leave his, yeah, Sam and Diane on the run.
Ice Cube.
Yeah, and I think maybe we should take like one of the Hunter teams, like Griff and Buck. Like it should be like a true like 24 season of like Griff and Buck. They've gone rogue. They're on the run. They know what we do. How do we catch them?
I would say that's kind of like a potential like all-star season down the road is Hunted going rogue where you bring back some of the top hunted teams, some of the top hunters, maybe even bring in some people from Command Center and then put them on the run.
But wouldn't that be a fun twist on the, like, where it's like, okay, well, these everyday idiots, they didn't know what to do. But now the people who know what to do, who have been the hunters, they are now the hunted. Can they outsmart their comrades?
I would love it. I mean, for all we know, Team Hotel is actually out on the run because I haven't seen them.
They're ready to go. Because I mean, that's every single season of 24 where it's like, oh, Jack Bauer, he's crossed a line. We have to catch him. It's like, oh, but he knows everything that we do.
This is like the Bourne. I mean, exactly. I thought of this. I thought of the Bourne series when I saw the first episode. So that completely falls under that category. I would love to see it.
Do we think that this is what happened to Landon Stewart? Where's he been?
That's right. Whatever happened to Landon?
I don't know. Aww. Maybe most of these episodes took place. He had like vacation for like a week, and then that's when the bulk of the action takes place. I'd like to see Lenny and Mike Cole on the run.
Oh, me too. I think that would be great.
Okay. What a fun setup for the Hunted finale coming up next Wednesday. Only one episode of Hunted left. Kurt, are you going to be very distraught during the Hunted off season?
I shouldn't say that I'm going to be distraught. I'm just going to kind of cross my fingers, hope that the Clark curse finds another target and leaves Hunted alone so that it can come back for a second season.
I said last week on the podcast that I felt good about Hunted coming back, but I guess it's not a foregone conclusion. I do think that the best thing that you could do if you want to make sure there is more Hunted, I do think that just talking about it on social media and tweeting about it and using the Hunted hashtag, even more so than the RHAP hashtag, because our Hunted podcast isn't going. If there's Hunted, our Hunted podcast isn't going anywhere. But I think that for the powers that be, I think the more they see people talking about it on social media, I do think that that helps with the idea of a show getting renewed that could be potentially on the bubble, Liana.
I would love to see a second season of Hunted. So sorry, Twitter followers. I will be tweeting every single day with the hashtag Hunted at the Root Bot. So we'll get a bunch of responses.
Yeah, he responds to it.
And we're going to amp the numbers that way.
Yeah. So if you are enjoying Hunted, just make sure that you are talking about it as well, because I think that'll only help the chances that it comes back for more and maybe ends the Clark curse once for all, Kurt.
No, it never ends. It just gets the rules adjusted.
So we'll see. All right. Do we have a hashtag for tonight?
Well, I wrote down Griff Raff from earlier.
Yeah, I like Griff Raff. That's good. Good way to go.
Is that an explosion?
That was Hunted going to commercial. That's going to be my ringtone now.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah. All right. Well, great stuff. If you'd like to chat with my first circle of trust, of course, you could find Kurt on Twitter. He is at Kurt Clark, as well as Liana is also on Twitter at Liana Boris. Anything else you guys want to say before we sign off tonight?
I'm really excited about the season finale, and I can't wait to see how these three stories wrap up.
It's going to be a wild finale. How many winners do you think we will ultimately have, Kurt?
Two.
Okay, call it. What do you think?
I'm going to go with one.
One. And Lee and Hilmar?
Yeah.
Yes. Kurt?
I'll go Lee and Hilmar and Team King.
Team King. Wow. I will say that we have, I think it'll be one win, one loss, and one close call. I think Lee and Hilmar will be the win. I think Arif and Ahmad will be the close call. And I think that we will see one quick capture with Steven in English.
I don't know why you would say that, Rob.
Yes. And just for the lack of confusion, it's English like the language.
Amy. No, I think that's English.
Yes, like the language.
Yes. Okay. All right. Fun stuff. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments on robhasawebsite.com and also on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sestrino. We've got a lot more coming up. during the week. This week, I have some bonus Survivor coverage. I'm going to be talking with Erin Sebula, who is with ET Canada. She was out on location for Survivor Game Changers. She sat down with all 20 Survivor Game Changers. I spoke to her earlier today, so I'll have that podcast for you on Thursday. All right, so we'll have that. And then I have Game Changer cast preview show on Friday, number 7, talking about JT Thomas and fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas. Oh my God, wait, hold on. Is this a twin twist, Liana?
Yay, it's Game Changer fan favorite Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yes, and JT Thomas. We'll see if we get to the bottom of that. All right. Take care, everybody. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Robinsonwebsite.com/iTunes. Take care. Have a good night. Bye.